On Sunday, the 19th of August 2007, at around noon, the Climate Camp for Action's Day of Action started. After a week of workshops and meetings, these next 24 hours were to illustrate peacefully but imaginatively how much people were angered by governmental greenwash and corporate profiteering.
One of the main targets was BAA Limited, formerly known as the British Aviation Authority, now privatised and owned by the Spanish group Ferrovial. BAA owns and runs Heathrow, London's largest airport and the UK's busiest, and BAA's plans to extend Heathrow with a third runway in the face of climate chaos seem to many environmentalists to show just how short-sighted, ruthless and irresponsible global capital can be. The third runway would also flatten three nearby villages which have suffered the consequences of noise and air pollution for years. In July 2007, BAA sought an injunction preventing potential protesters involved in the Camp for Climate Action from approaching its London Heathrow airport. The injunction specifically targeted anyone belonging to or protesting in the name of Airport Watch, the No Third Runway Action Group, and Plain Stupid. BAA won a very capped version of the injunction. In the face of 1,800 police, including police on horseback and riot police, over 800 people left the back gate of the climate camp on the day of action to head to BAA's headquarters. A few hours later, we made following recordings in their car park.
Headquarters, Heathrow, on the A4 of Bath Road, outside the perimeter.
Can you tell me how you got here?
Actually, I came by bicycle. After this afternoon's episode in the fields, I came back to the site and I came down here totally unobstructed.
So the bicycle was the second attempt. Can you tell me about the first attempt?
The first attempt was made en masse. At 2 o'clock we left the camp and we basically found a gap in the fence, and although there was a lot of obstruction by the police, there was police horses, we basically outnumbered them severely and we made our way through a field. I was in a section that was bearing right, so we were heading basically away from the main area, and we were then pinned off in the bottom right hand corner. The riot police were drawn in and we just followed the line down the perimeter fence. Some people tried to get across, but there was police on the other side in the car park, and basically we slowly made our way around the perimeter, and the police just filed in. As a legal observer, I was just basically trying to witness what was happening with the protesters. The police were being quite aggressive. There was a number of assaults made on people. One gentleman was trying to cross the fence and he was hit with a baton, even though there was a divide between him and the police. They were saying, get back, and he was walking, trying to talk to them. And as he was using his hand as a gesture, the policeman was hitting it. These are middle-aged policemen, these weren't young policemen, they were quite experienced people. They didn't have the numbers showing, and there was a lot of police like that. Two girls were hurt, one was forcefully thrown over the fence. She climbed over the fence, went unobstructedly, she was told to move, she said that I'm a legal observer, I'm not going to move. She was basically picked up the phone. Another girl was seriously injured in the same scenario where she was dropped on her head, she had blood pouring from her head, clearly very distressed. A young girl, maybe 20, 21 years old. I then also followed more people around, just observing what was happening, and groups had moved further around the perimeter. One girl made a run for it through the bushes, and she was basically—I lost sight of her—but she was grabbed by the hair and by her hair by an officer and pulled back. And she was extremely, extremely distressed, and she was pushed back over the fence. Again, she was a young woman, maybe like mid-20s, young, very young. Yeah, the police were extremely heavy-handed. She was getting very emotional with them, and she was swearing, and they basically said, if you swear one more time, we're going to arrest you. At that point, I took her away. After more to-ing and fro-ing, a police horse. They came down, and he basically was thrown off the horse. The horse kind of reared, and he lost balance. That was another kerfuffle. Lots of different things were happening. We came back into camp. No one was really sure what was happening. It was a lot of confusion. And I came down here to report more on the kettle. The kettle's blockade. The police have surrounded a group of protesters that did break through the fence, and they're now outside the main area where most of the protesters are, and they've been kept. They're basically hemmed in. They could be kept there indefinitely, depending on anything longer than 6 hours becomes unlawful detention.
A little later, I found a fellow Flash Radio reporter in that very police pen. I interviewed him across two rows of riot police, and here's what he had to say.
We are in front of the BAA training center, and they're holding us without any charge. Since 4 hours ago, this completely kind of break of human rights, and they're not letting us go anywhere. And just because they say to prevent a breach of peace, which is something completely ridiculous, because you can perfectly see that the people here are completely peaceful. So now they promised us like around 1 hour and a half ago that we would be taken back to the camp, but it looks like a lie, because I mean, they said that they had traffic problems and so on.
Just that we're surrounded. There's another group on that side.
I mean, there's many of us around, but I mean, they're keeping us here. There are people that have to pee, people that have to poo, people that are feeling not well, and they're not letting us go anywhere. So that's quite a shame, I would really say. And I mean, and keeping us like preventively without any charge is really ridiculous. Yes. And but anyway, people are still high on morale. They are happy with what they did, and I think was a successful action up to this point. Yeah.
How many are you, do you think?
We're around, I guess, more or less 100 people there. Yeah.
Been any arrests?
Not that I know. There've been people pushed, people beaten, but no arrests at the moment. Yeah. There are two legal observers there that are advising people about what they have to do, so the situation is quite calm. But I mean, it's simply ridiculous that we are being held here without any reason.
Okay, we might have to break now.
Okay.
Some stuff is happening.
Yeah.
Or maybe you want to tell us quickly what's happening.
Okay, so the police are basically escorting the children's revolution, as it's called. They're holding a banner saying the kids are the revolution.
Kids are revolting.
Oh, beg your pardon, the kids are revolting. I think revolting in, not in a disgusting sense, but more in a political sense. And they've just walked up now to the entrance of the BA office. And yeah, they all look happy. There's some clowns. The police, there's a large number of police, but it all seems to be quite peaceful. There's a small number, perhaps like 40 of them in total. Lots of colour and umbrellas, the sound system's here. It's a really nice feeling, actually. We've kind of basically done exactly what we wanted to do. And you know, very few people have been arrested, as far as I'm aware. I think a lot of people have been detained or have had just, you know, been stopped unreasonably, perhaps. But we are here in mass, and yeah, it's a great feeling to see.
Okay, thank you.
So the police have been trying to make a deal by asking the protesters that arrived here on foot and the kids' march to move back away from the car park to make space for the people who've been kettled in for 4 hours. The people in the car park were not ready to accept that offer. Instead, they went and blockaded the entry to the car park even more, because it's the only entry for employees to the BAA building and the only strategically important point that has actually been blocked. Now, the police have been threatening anyone obstructing this public highway with arrest. And now they moved in, trying to arrest people who are sitting down. There are about 100 people sitting down now. More people are moving in. Others are standing on the side with their hands in the air. I've been pushed back as well. There's a lot of press in here though, photographing everything.
Thank you. trying to grab people. They're leaning into them. Police officers are leaning into people. And people are obviously hurt, screaming. You can see the protesters doing a sit-in, have linked arms and legs, now trying not to be moved. The police is retreating. The police did not manage to pull out people from the chain. Legal observers were present at all times, recording numbers of policemen who were trying to be very heavy-handed, leaning in with their elbows into their chests, trying to hurt them into letting go. Mr. G, welcome here in front of the BAA building. Last time I saw you, you were near here, just down the road, with about 50 Ryan police cops between us, and I interviewed you about your way here. Now, you've been released out of the pen, and you decided to come back here and join people on the other side of the building. At the time when I was interviewing you, you couldn't really talk about how you got here and what you did when you got to the building. Do you want to tell me now?
Yeah, so basically we were in the Finger March, and we got to this fence that some people broke, and some people managed to. At that point, we were like playing a sort of like a, we were in a mouse trap. So the police were pushing us away from all the exit ways, and finally we found this way through the fence. And at that point, the situation got really confrontational because the police was beating people. People were starting to run around, and we basically went towards a group of policemen, but the line was not too tight, so I managed to seep through between a policeman who was trying to grab me and the wall, and at the point I ran along between the wall and the bush, and there were like some riot policemen there, but I managed to pass through, and then I simply walked down quickly along a bush on the left, and I went through this bush, which was quite a big bush, so it was quite thick. It was quite difficult to pass through, but at that point when I passed through the bush, I found myself with other people around, I don't know, around like 20, 30 other people just in front of the BAA building. The problem was that people were very confused. They didn't know that we were actually in front of the right building, and so people were started to look around, and some people were shouting, let's block here, but then people, some police reinforcement arrived, so people start moving again, trying to escape from the police, and police were blocking us from different ways. People tried to jump on bushes to pass through the police lines again, but the police line became even more tight and tight again, until they pocketed us, and they kept us like that for 4 hours now. Afterwards, we reached an agreement to be escorted back to the camp, but me and a girl, we managed to seep through and come here again.
It's been about 3 hours now since we first came to the entrance of the BAA building. It's been raining and tarpaulin has just suddenly just appeared. There's lots of food shared out. People are kind of well prepared for the next 24 hours, I reckon. That's the plan, to stay here for 24 hours to block the entrance so that staff can't come into the BAA building. It's a very good atmosphere. There's entertainers been entertaining us all night with music and poetry, and it's been great actually. And BBC reporters have been reporting on the news here. I can actually see about maybe 300 people here, but they reported only 50 people, so it's not quite true. It's about 400, 300 people here. About 400 people, I would say. So yeah, people are well prepared. We've got shelter from the rain, food, water, music and entertainment. And so hopefully
we'll stay here for the next 24 hours. Camera here. There have been a lot of cameras around. Do you think that's been a good thing for us?
I think it is quite good actually, because you don't. Police are a bit scared to, because they, I mean, with the past experience, we protesters of any sort have had. They've been quite heavy-handed, and if they see media and cameras, they kind of restrain themselves and stick to what they should do, and rather than go over the board and let their testosterone flow out a bit.
Yes, I mean there's a big camera presence here, and you know the police were kind of like trying to push people earlier on.
Mm.
You know they could see all these cameras, and I think they almost pulled back because of the cameras.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think that's true?
I think that might be true, because there is no, we are sitting in kind of the entrance to the office, which allegedly is the BAA office, and the people are sitting in the entrance. The police kind of say that it is, we are blocking the public highway so that we can get arrested under the Public Order Act, which doesn't apply for the BA office, so can't get arrested. So no one seems to be sure about the legality. And the press has been very good. They've been with us, and especially when the whole incident happened, there have been a lot of photographs and video and everything. So I think that might really helped the whole thing. The media, if they leave, the usual thing is police start kind of using more violent techniques to get rid of the protesters, which has happened in the past, and that's why the legal is really concerned about. I mean, he doesn't. No, I don't think anyone in this crowd wants any violence.
Name?
Daniel Esterman. Yes, I don't want the third runway or any other runways, because I don't want anything that makes the environment hotter than it is now. We're already getting strange weather from getting too much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere.
And you're lying here in front of the BAA building, and yeah. you came on your wheelchair.
My right side is affected. My left isn't.
Are you comfortable down there? Is it okay? Are you wet?
It's not wet, but it's rather hard.
Are you planning to stay here all night?
Yeah.
Are you camping at the climate camp?
Yeah. Yes, that's my wheelchair over there.
You can talk from studying about techno.
here?
I'm just sitting here. My job's to create tranquility and make sure everyone's as happy as possible. I'm just trying to find, make people as comfortable as possible.
How do you do that?
We've been giving them carpet tiles to sit on, making sure we've got water, food, making sure people like legal advisors, legal observers are comfortable, that they haven't worked too long. They might be stressed out by some of the situations they've been involved in. So talking to them as well, and just generally spotting and looking around for any position, people that could potentially be troubled in any way.
And I've noticed that people are kind of being fed quite well here. How did you manage to do that? Get through?
Well, a lot of the food and water is still on site here, so it's what people have brought on. We're just distributing it, making sure it's shared, kind of cooperative food and water, but also had some other people have brought water and food onto site, and we're always trying to look for ways to make it as comfortable as possible for people, especially if they're going to sit here for a long period of time.
A friend of mine, he's back at the camp, and he was saying that loads of food was made and, you know, they were biking it in. Did that get through?
Yeah, that got through. Some of the food that was being served was warm. I presume that's not being cooked here. So I assume that there is stuff coming through, and certainly we're asking for further stuff to be brought down as much as possible.
Are the police going to stop that at some point?
I don't think it's in their interest. I mean, certainly I'm liaising with the police to just say that I'm looking after people's health and safety, making sure no one gets hypothermia here. It's not in anyone's interest to have anyone becoming ill. People will, if the police want to move people, they have their own ways of making people move. At the moment, we're just trying to make people as comfortable and as kind of tranquil as possible.
So at the moment, you think that, you know, they're not going to move us off?
I wouldn't know. I don't know what they're doing. I'm just, my place not to liaise in the sense of that, but just to maybe be able to get people through. If people are tired and want to go home, I try and negotiate them to get out. That kind of side. So it's more about people's personal health. And also if people are drunk and shouting at police officers, also trying to calm them down and make sure we don't flare any situation unnecessarily.
Okay. Are you enjoying your job at the moment? You look quite happy.
I'm happy. I'm very, very tired. It's been a long day, or a long couple of days. But someone's got to do it.
Well, you're doing a really good job.
Thank you.
Tell me the story that you told me just now about the two suits.
Well, basically, we're here outside the BIA building. It's 2 a.m. and we're blockading the entrance to the car park, so no vehicles can access the BIA building. And we've been here for more than 8 hours, whatever. But I just went out and was walking around, and there's a police line outside here. There's no riot police anymore, it's just people in jackets, and they're letting people through and they're letting people out, but whoever's coming in is getting searched. They wear these two suits, these city boys. They were getting searched, and I actually thought they were fake. You know, I kind of thought they were part of the pilot and stewardess crew, because they had a few flying guests, you know, in the climate camp and their performance. But they were the real deal. They were real city boys who'd been out drinking. And they live locally, and they've been in their pub and seen us on the telly. And after a few pints, they kind of felt that they really cared about the world. They wanted to come down here and be with us and support us. They came down here and they got searched, stopped and searched by the police. And it was clear that the first time that happened to them. So they looked totally flustered, and they were sort of trying to read the report they're getting, you know. It's basically like a receipt, and it kind of says, like, under which laws you've been searched and this and that, and then that you couldn't have been possibly been searched because of what you wear or how you look or your race or something like that, but just because of some, you know, order that's been given that everybody's going to be searched. And yeah, and then they came in here and they were clearly fairly drunk, you know. They were quite happy, you know, and they were just being all loved up and sort of talking to everybody and being quite excited, shaking everybody's hand.
Can you describe the camp that they've just visited? I mean, what can you see here?
Well, basically, like I said, these are anti-climate change activists who have been blockading the BIA building because of their policies and expansion politics, and they're about, I'd say, 250 people here sitting in the entrance to BIA and the entrance to the car park, and we've set up tarpaulins and plastic sheets to protect us from the rain.
there's actually a massive tent and people are sleeping and they're using sort of medical blankets and stuff.
And we've been getting loads of food from locals. Can you describe that as well? What have we been getting?
Cake, far too many sandwiches, I'm sorry.
We've been getting food every like
junk food, which is great.
Couple of half hours.
Yeah, no, it's been... I think they'd been preparing for a lot more blockaders, more than 250. So they've been blockading, they've been preparing for like 800 or something, but, you know, 800 didn't get through. Because it was basically not about the numbers in the camp, it was about who was getting through.
Yeah, okay, all right. Thank you.
Majority of people arrived around 5-6. We locked on, you know, physically locked on here in the driveway, which is their main vehicle entrance and exit. And as time went on and we found ourselves able to stay put, tarps started going up with the rain, tents started coming in, tea started coming in, food started coming in, and we all bedded down for the night. We had food, we had water, we were positively spoiled actually. We had a good supply line coming in, and then the tarps went up. It made everyone feel really secure, actually. It made people feel very secure, this little tarp city we've got here. I mean, the police dropped back about 9, the riot police left. Regular bobbies came in. And even at night, the numbers weren't that big, and they kind of let us get on with it. And there were songs, and everyone was bedded down, and it was lovely. It was really, we all had a really nice, comfortable night. The bunny was here. Climate Camp Bunny was here, most importantly. This morning, it all got a bit tense. More cops started arriving. Everyone was, you know, we were of the feeling they were going to try and move us this morning. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. We're still here. But the cops were coming in. So everyone, about 4:35, was arousing. We were trying to get ourselves ready. And we had one mobilisation because they snatched someone at the other end. And now we're just trying to hold it down for, I don't know how long. We're here, and no one has said we're leaving just yet, and they don't seem to want to move us just yet. There's a lot of media here, independent and otherwise. Employees are getting in through the other side. Our numbers deem that we can't really do very much about that at the moment. We have made a very big point, though, being here. We are all over the media. We've held it down already. We've been here since 3 o'clock, so it's been great. I think everyone's had, considering circumstances, it's been cold, it has been wet, but everyone's had a really good night and a really good time, even those who perhaps haven't got as much sleep as others. But we need reinforcements. That's it.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thanks.
They brought coffee and tea in the morning. They brought porridge. So we all slowly got up about 6 o'clock. We did some Tai Chi, a little bit of football. The relationship with the police was all absolutely fine. We then went out onto the street and played a bit of samba to welcome in the BAA staff, but we didn't directly block them. Then we had a meeting at about 10:30 to decide what time to leave, and the consensus was that we would leave en masse at 3 o'clock, so that it would have been the full 24-hour direct action like we'd promised. And so we've just returned now from that 3 o'clock march back, and it's all been very successful, and we're looking forward to a cup of tea.
Can you tell me a bit more about the atmosphere of the whole night? Were people
of the night?
Yeah.
Well, the atmosphere during the night was fantastic. We had a big drumming circle, kind of keeping the energy going outside the tent, and then inside the tent, we had people playing guitars and singing songs and all sorts of musical instruments, keeping people's spirits high. We had plenty of food brought to us. In fact, people were turning food away because there was too much, and then we all slowly fell asleep probably around 2 o'clock. Throughout the night, we were kind of woken up by the occasional person saying, "Oh, the police are moving!" So we would kind of jump to our feet like meerkats, and then realise that nothing was going to happen. So then we would get back and go back to sleep.
There weren't many police in at night, were there?
No, not at all. I'd say at about 8 o'clock, or as the sun went down, the riot police were withdrawn, leaving the protesters in the kind of driveway into the BAA car park, and they were replaced by what looked like more relaxed police. And there was no argy-bargy at all throughout the night.
Do you think we made our point? I mean, there was a lot of media that night.
Yeah. I mean, as far as I understood it, our objective was to occupy the BAA car park and form a block around the entrances. And we absolutely 100% succeeded in that objective. Another objective was to kind of symbolically move the climate camp from the permanent station to the BAA car park, and there we were able to erect all sorts of tents and erect a giant tent over the entrance from Tower Paulins, which is what we all sat under to protect ourselves from the rain and wind and to keep us warm. And I really believe that it was those tents that was what was able to keep us there throughout the whole night.
Can you tell me why you personally are here at the climate camp?
I'm here because I think it's a fantastic opportunity to open up space for normal people, mainstream people, to come and express their anger, fear, desire for action with regards to climate change. It's also fantastic because it happens over more than just a few hours. We're able to learn all sorts of skills through workshops, learn ways of organising, learn techniques to get our points across, and also to learn about how to live in a more sustainable way. And I think we did that in a much better way than a normal protest going through Trafalgar Square.
Wicked. Are you coming back next year?
Yeah, certainly. If the objectives of the climate camp are similar to this one, and I feel the same next year, then definitely.
Thank you very much for that.
The thing was, five people with cement lock-ons blockaded the access road to Sizewell Nuclear Power Station with a banner saying that nuclear power is not the answer to climate chaos. Then 12 people using a mixture of super glue and locks, super glued and locked on to the BP headquarters in London, in St. James's Square, 12 people. And then one group of people simultaneously targeted two carbon offset companies, the Carbon Neutral Company in London and Climate Care in Oxford. They were dressed as red herrings, as red fish, and red herrings is symbolic of that carbon offsets are a distraction away from the real business of taking action on climate change. And a group of people invaded the offices of Bridgepoint Capital, which is the company that's behind the expansion of Leeds Airport. They were dressed in flat caps, which is kind of the traditional dress of Yorkshire, and they were handing out Yorkshire puddings. And they had a banner that said, "Yorkshire's flooding, you daft pudding." And I think that's been everything that
cool.
I can remember.
And what is, I mean, the general feeling about the main action against the BAA?
People are very happy. We've severely disrupted their operations. We've done what we said we were going to do, that we were going to go there and lay siege to it. People are still there and people are very happy with how that's gone.
And are you happy about the media feedback?
We've had really very incredibly positive media response from a lot of people. There's been an article in the LA Times talking about how the protesters are highlighting the fact that there's a contradiction between economic growth and dealing with climate change, which is one of the fundamental things we really wanted to get across. The fact that the very underpinnings of our economic system means that we can't deal with climate change as it is. And there's also kind of media reports in India, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, Australia, New Zealand, China. So we've had enormous amounts of coverage. We've had a front cover of El País in Spain, and we're very happy with the media coverage.
And what about police repression?
There's been a number of instances of very heavy-handed police responses. The first aid tent has treated a number of people for head injuries. A friend of mine had her head split open as she was climbing over a fence. But we don't want kind of the police violence to distract away from the real issues at stake here, which is the climate change and the destruction of 1,000 community homes. Police have been reporting that missiles were thrown and that someone was ripped off their horse, both of which are completely unsubstantiated. And we have eyewitness accounts of people with names and addresses who saw the policeman fall off his horse. So it's just kind of typical stories trying to discredit what we're doing and trying to justify the police brutality.
Thanks very much.
No problem.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed our podcast. Please continue to listen to Flash Radio to get another perspective on issues that really matter.